Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Hei. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Jacob Cohen, Yaakov Ben Ari HaKohen. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an Aliyah. And we begin the Gemara today, where we left off yesterday, at the Tanu Rabbanon. This is about 10 lines down from the top. And we continue to discuss various activities as to what their status is. Are they the Raisa, are they the Rabbanon? So Tanu Rabbanon, the Braisa begins. HaCholev, somebody who milks an animal. Cholev is the act of milking an animal. We'll see what the Isser is for doing so in a moment. HaMechabetz, Rashi tells us, Mechabetz is two possibilities. Number one, he says, HaMamid HaCholev B'keva, if you go put the milk inside the keva of an animal in order to curdle it, in order to make the cheese from it, that's the first explanation. However, he prefers Alinira. Mechabetz means Osek min kli gemi. You make some sort of a wicker basket made out of reeds. The nosen hakofri besochu. You take the solid milk, the milk that's congealed. Umei chalav shehein nisyove, and there will be notfin. So you put this solid block of congealed milk, and the whey will drip down, and this is the process called Mechabetz that Rashi prefers. And then the last one is Bahamigabein. Megabein is somebody who makes cheese. The word Gvina is cheese. Megabein is one who makes cheese. So all of these, if a person were to carry out on Shabbos, the minimum amount, these are all food items, so would be Kigrogeris. If you were going to do all of these things, the shear for doing them, you have to milk a grogeris is worth, be mechabetz over here, whichever one of the definitions that we had for mechabetz, or to make cheese, the shear that you're going to be over a chatas would be if you did a grogeris is worth. Hamechabed, if somebody goes and sweeps the floor of a house, their houses were mostly dirt floors, so this would apply possibly as well if it was a stone floor as well, according to some poskim, but certainly when they were sweeping up their dirt floors, this would be an isser. We'll see in a moment whether it's an isser deraisa or an isser derabanan. Amarabates, they would go and sprinkle their dirt floors with dust. This is analogous to people, if you've ever been to a ball game and you see the seventh inning stretch when they go and sprinkle the infield because it's dry and dusty from for the day's activities, so they sprinkle with water in order that the dust should be calmed down. So you shouldn't have ground ball that's hit, should raise a lot of dust in the face of the shortstop. So therefore, they would do this in their houses to be marabates so they wouldn't have a cloud of dust. And finally, varo de chalos dvash, if somebody goes and takes the honey out of a honeycomb. So you're pulling out the loaves of honey over here, the chalos dvash, from the honeycomb. So all of these are clearly this last group of three. Some say it's the first group of three as well, is a machlokus over here, whether the derais or the rabbanim. So the simple way to understand it is only talking about the last three, but some do suggest it's talking about the first three as well. In any event, the opinion of the Tanakhama, which will be Rabbi Eliezer, is if you did these actions on Shabbos unintentionally, Shogak b'Shabbos, Chayiv Chatas, this isn't the Raisa. We don't ever like to say, as I pointed out many times, if you did a B'mezer on Shabbos with Hatzra, you'd be Chayiv Skila. So we always put it in the best form that if you did it by accident on Shabbos, you'd be Chayiv Echatos, because it's an Issa deraisa. If you did it on Yontif, there is no Chatos for doing something accidentally on Yontif. The Isser of Shabbos is much stricter than the Yisr of Yontif. Both of them are prohibited from the Torah, but on Shabbos it's Skila, on Yontif, if you did it B'mezid, it's only, quote, only Malkus. It's a lav. It's not an Yisr of capital crime. It's not a Skila or Kari's type of prohibition. So therefore, we use over here the Lashon of Hizid B'yontif. Here, if you did it intentionally on Yontif, so then Lok Arban, this is Yisr Daraisa, you're over a lav, and you get Malkus for it. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. This is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer for either these last three or for all six of the things that we just brought down. Chacham disagree. Chacham say no. Whether you did on Shabbos, whether you did on Yontif, and on Mishum Shavuos, it's only a din derabbanan. None of these are an Issur Daraisa. The rabbis put them in for various reasons and made them Issurim derabbanan. Now, what exactly is the Issur in each of these cases if you say it's an Issur Daraisa? Like Rabbi Lezer for the last three, and maybe everybody for the first three, or maybe it's just Rabbi Lezer for all six of them. So, Maisa Shohaya, Rav Nachman Bar Gurya, Ikel Nardoi. Rav Nachman Bar Gurya went to the city of Nardoi. He was a Talmud Chacham, and they asked him questions. They asked him, Cholev Mishumai Mechayev. This Isser of milking an animal, what is the Av? It's clearly not one of the 39 Av Malachos. So, according to the opinions that say it's an Isser Deraisa, it's a Tolda. So, it's a Tolda of which Av? So he responded, he said, Cholev, what is that? He says, Mishum Cholev. Amaluhu, Mishum Cholev. The Isser is Cholev, milking. Then they asked the mechabetz, mishum mai mechayev, this isur mechabetz. So we said it was either that the whey would flow out of the congealed milk, or that they put the milk into the stomach of an animal and let the enzymes of the stomach of the animal, the cave of the animal, go and make it into cheese. So this isur of mechabetz. What's the issa d'oraisa? What's the ab? Mishumai mechayev. So Amalut, he told them back. Rabbi Nachman Bar Gira said, Mishum mechabetz. The issa is mechabetz. He asked them the same thing about making the cheese. Magavi, Mishumai mechayev. Why would you be chayev for making cheese? What's the ab? So Amalut, Mishum megabi. They said to him, Mishum megabi. So he clearly didn't give them the answer that they were looking for, which was the ab. So Amalei, they said to him, Rabbah, your Rebbe didn't teach you well. Kotul koni biyag bahava. He's just like a guy that's cutting reeds in the forest, in the swamp. He didn't teach you anything. You didn't learn by him anything. So he might as well be a reed cutter over here in the agam, in the swamp, because you didn't learn from him. Nope. So Rav Nachman Gur, you went to the base medrash and said, no, what are the isurim? What's the av? Also, Shabbim and Rasha. So Rav Nachman Gur, you went to the base medrash and said to them, what are the av malachos of these three isurim, these toldos? So Amulei, they said to him, Cholev, the milking, is chai mishum mefarik. It's a tolda of mefarik. What's mefarik? So Rashi explains over here, mefarik masoi, when you unload the burden from an animal. So that's called removing something from something else. So this would be the equivalent of Shaporek Ocha Mimokum Shiniskansabo. You're removing the food from the place where it was gathered. This is Vehevi told us Dosh. This is threshing is the Av Malacha. Because you have the kernel of wheat, let's say, inside the sheath, and you thresh it to get it out. But it's already collected over there. Now, Rashi brings down, some say that it's a told of kotzer, of reaping. He says that's absolutely incorrect, because reaping is attached to the ground. It's not something that's already been removed, so to say, and you're just removing one thing from another thing. So, therefore, it's not kotzer. And anyway, it's mefarik. It's a told of dosh, of mefarik over here. And mechabetz, what is that? Chayv mishum boreh, because you're selecting over here. Rashi says, you're taking the ocha mitoch psolus. You're taking the whey over here from this congealed block of milk. And what is megabi, the making of the cheese? Chayv mishum boneh. This is actually, you're building the cheese and you're putting it all together in one place. That's a tolda of boneh. This has a huge potential halacha ma'aseh ramification, which you can see at the end of Tosos, Dibur Maaseh Aroda. He brings down, you see this at the very start of the wide lines in the Tosos, and he says, "Umiyu tema l'ri." The Ri said, "Kivan de mutu legavim biyontif min haTorah." Since you are allowed to go do this megave min haTorah because of ochel nefesh, you'll have to go make cheese on yontif if you want to eat it on yontif. So therefore, he says at the end of the line, he says, "Im kain." Therefore. Nofal basal beyontif, if your house fell down on yontif. Ye mutu livnoso beyontif, you could rebuild it on yontif. Why? The mitoch shehutu binyan letzorach the megavin, since building is allowed for megavin, that's called building. So heavy mishum bone, that's a av of bone, as we, kedama besomach, we just said. Hutu nami shelo letzorach, it's permissible even if it's not letzorach yontif, except it has to be a little bit letzorach yontif. She says, as long as you need a shelter for eating on yontif, you would be allowed to rebuild your house in order that you get some tzorach of yontif from it. But you'd be allowed to go and do that. However, he brings down, now, it's still in this of the Rabbanim because of Uvdu Dechol. It looks too much. You're building a house on yontif, that's not allowed. But it's a very interesting idea that you could have a havamina to say that you could build a house. This has a nafkamina. If your sukkah falls down on yontif as well, would you be allowed to rebuild it? So with the goy, you would be allowed to rebuild it. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, Hamechabed, Hamerabed, Varodus Chalos Tvash. We repeat what we just said. Shaga b'Shabbos Chayv Chatos. He's a yontif loki Rabbanim. If it was on Shabbos, you're Chayv in Issa Derais, according to Rabbi Eliezer. It's an issur daraisa, so you chayv chatos if you did it by accident, and hezid biyontif lo karbon. And if you did it on yontif, you'd go and get malchus for it. This is the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. So the Gemara now asks, this was the opinion of the Tana Rebbe Eliezer, and the Amora, Omar Rabbi Elozer, the Amori, says, my time of the Tana, the Rabbi Eliezer. What was Rabbi Eliezer's reasoning? So we bring down an asmachta. It can't obviously be a real Din Daraisa, learned from this pasuk, because it's from Navi, and we don't learn Adinim Daraisa, so this is an Asmachta. And it says in the pasuk in Shmuel, where we have the battle that Shaul is having with the Plishtim, and he tells everybody to go and fast on the day of the battle, and he says anybody that actually doesn't fast is going to be killed. And his own son, Yehonah's son, went and ate. Didn't realize his father had said so. So it says, the Dersiv, Vayidbol Osa, he dipped his food, biyaras hadvash, into this forest of honey. It's a very strange expression. V'chima inyan yar itzel dvash. What do you mean, a forest of honey? Honey goes in honeycomb. What do you mean, a forest of honey? So he says, it's an asmachto v'eluloma l'cha, to teach us the following. Ma yar toleish mimenu b'shabbos chayv chatas. If you were to detach something from a forest, if you pulled an apple off a tree on Shabbos, you would be chayv chatas. So therefore, this hekish over here, this idea in the pasuk, it's called yaros hadvash, is coming to teach us, if you were to take these honeycombs out of the beehive, it would be the equivalent of taking an apple off a tree in the forest, and you'd be chayv chata. So that's Rabbi Elazar, the Tana, as explained by Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, explains the reasoning here for why it's a chayv daraisa. So Gemara says, Amei Meshora Zilcha B'mechosa. Now, we just put down that you're not allowed to go and do this mezalfin, or this concept of merabates. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. One opinion, Rabbi Elazar said, was Nisa Daraisa, and the Chacham says Nisa Darabanan. But Amei Meshora Zilcha B'mechosa, he allowed you to do it, not Daraisa or Darabanan. Also, he said, L'chatchila, you're allowed to do it. How come? So Amar, he said, Time of my Omer Rabbanan. What's the reason why the rabbis prohibited doing the ziluf of watering the dust so it shouldn't come up and bother you? It's because they had dirt floors. Duma osi lashuya gumos. And if you go and water it, you may come and fill in holes because the mud that you'll create now will fill in holes. And that's an issa of ashvi gumos. That would be like building inside the house. You're smoothing out the holes. If you did it outside, we said it would be an issa in terms of planting. You're plowing over here, preparing the ground by filling in the holes. But inside the house, it would be ashvi gumos, would be an issur of binyan. So that's why the rabbi said not to do it. But that's for dirt floors. Hocha lecha gumos. He says in Mechuza, we have stone floors. As Rashi points out, they had ritzbas avonim haysa b'chol year. Everybody in their city had ritzbas avonim. So therefore, it wasn't a concern. And he let them do it l'chatchila. There's no ashvi gumos concern. Similarly, Rava, that's the Gersa that we have, the Bach says it should be Rabba Tosfa. Ashchil Ravina, he once found Ravina, the Komitztar Mihavla. He was in a house where it was very dusty and he was having trouble breathing because of all the dust that was being raised. So, for Amri, the others say it was Markishisha Bre de Rava. It wasn't Rabba Tosfa, it was Markishisha Bre de Rava. Ashchil Ravashi, the Komitztar. He found Ravashi having difficulty breathing because of all the dust, Mihavla. Now, whoever it was said to him, Amalei, either Rabba Tosfa said to Ravina, or it was Markishisha Bre de Rava said to Ravashi, how come you don't sprinkle it? Amalei, Lo Sava Lomar Loha de Tanya, don't you hold from the following that we learned in the Braisa? Harotzi L'Rabbi says, Beisul B'Shabbos, if you want to go and sprinkle water in your house on Shabbos, and you have a dirt floor, so that would be either an Issa D'Raisa or an Issa D'Rabbanan, but there's an acceptable way to do this. What should you do? Maybe I rave him lay bring a trough of water, bring a bucket of water, and go wash your face over here in this corner. And the overflow from washing your face will go on the floor. And that sprinkling on the floor will make the dust not so dusty. So, rochets ponim b'zav zu, wash your face in this corner. Yadav b'zav zu, then go wash your hands in that corner. And again, you'll accomplish the same thing now in a different part of the room. And raglav b'zav zu, and go and wash your feet in another corner of the room. In other words, you're allowed to wash your face, your hands, and your feet on Shabbos. You can't take a bath, but you can wash each of those parts of your body. So wash each of them in a different part of the room. And at the end, because it is splashing, you'll have essentially done this ziluf. You'll have done over here the putting the water on the dusty room, and you won't be in such distress. And it will turn out that you did this misrabates in a halachically acceptable way. So why didn't you do this? So Amalei. So he told him, either it was Ravina responding to Rabba Tosfa, or it was Ravashi responding to Markishisha Bre de Rava. He said, Lava datoy. Now, literally, this means I don't know. And that's, in fact, the first pshat in Rashi. Lo yisi zocher. I didn't know that you were allowed to do this. I didn't remember. However, Rashi says, Rabosai pirushu, my rabbis, they taught me. It means lo sirli. He says, no, I don't hold from that. I think that is not allowed. Tana, we learned another braisa. Isha chachoma, a woman who's smart. What does it mean, a woman who's smart? So Rashi explains, she was the wife of Talmud Chacham. So she, therefore, learned halachos, or her husband taught her halachos, or Obas Talmud Chacham. Her father was a Talmud Chacham, and she learned halachos in the house. The women didn't go to yeshivas in those days. The Beis Yaakov movement, the Snorri Schneer movements, they were relatively recent phenomena. In the olden days, a woman would learn by her mother and her grandmother, who lived usually in the same house, and that's how she learned practical halach lamaisa. So if she lived in the Talmud Chacham's house, or she was married to a Talmud Chacham, she would learn the halachos properly. So Isha Chachama, Mirabetz is based on Shabbos, can also figure out a way to go and sprinkle the water on the dirt floors of their house and do it in a permissible way. Rashi explains, how would she do this? Rochet says, kitunios b'zavazu. When she would wash the dishes, she would wash some of the dishes in this corner, ukosos b'zavazu, and then she would wash the cups in that corner. And essentially the same thing as we just brought down before. You go wash your hands, your face, and your feet in different parts of the room. So she would wash the different dishes in different parts of the room, and the result would be that the floor would be sprinkled with water and the dust wouldn't go and be so dusty. Bottom line, however, the Gemara says, "Va'idna." Nowadays, the Sfira long for Rabbi Shimon. We hold like Rabbi Shimon that says a davar she'eno miskabin is mutter, as Rashi brings down over here, and therefore hamerabate, somebody's doing this over here. There's no concern that he wants to be making the ashve gumos. That's not his reasoning. Eno miskabin lahadbik offer begumos. He has absolutely no interest over here in doing this, filling in the holes. It's a davar she'eno miskabin. Even though it will happen, some suggest if it's a psik reisha, then even Rabbi Shimon wouldn't allow it. So others say it wouldn't necessarily happen over here. In any event, if your whole purpose over here is shelo yab avak, you just don't want the dust to come up, so then there is no isser according to the opinion of the Chacham that it's not an isser daraisa. It's only of ashvei gumos. So if you say it's a daraisa, then you're not allowed to do it. But if you say it's only a derabbanan over here, and we hold like Rabbi Shimon that says the davar she'eno miskabin is mutter, so then Shari afilu l'chachila. You'd be allowed to do this even l'chachila. You don't have to employ any of the haromos, any of the, I'm washing my face over here, my feet over there, I'm washing these cups over here, these utensils over there. You could outright do it because it's only an issa d'rabban. Next Mishnah. Now here we're going to get into involved with something called an otzitz nokov and an otzitz she'eno nokov. We know, of course, something growing in the ground has all the dinim of being in the ground, and it has all the halachas of Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Tumah and other things. It's in the ground. But what happens if you have a flower pot? Flower pot's not attached to the ground. The Mefarshim talk about that even if the flower pot's raised up, let's say it's a hanging flower pot, so there's a space of 5 feet between it and the ground. Nevertheless, some of these dinim apply in this situation if it has a perforation, if it has a hole in the flower pot. We'll see how big the hole has to be. So that's called an otzitz nokuf, a flower pot that has a hole in it. So that is halachically viewed as being connected to the ground. As Rashi says over here in the first Rashi, we haven't read the Mishnah yet, but in the first Rashi, he says, Dehevei kemechubar, a flower pot that has a hole in it is considered attached to the ground, diyonek minakarka aideha nekev. It somehow gets sustenance from the ground through the hole in the flower pot. It somehow breathes in, so to say, the moisture from the ground. And this is true. Even if the neck is not on the bottom of the flower pot, it's on the side of the flower pot. As long as it's where there's dirt in the flower pot, it can't be above the dirt. But if it's where there's dirt in the flower pot, so then this is called an otzitz nokuf. And halachically, we'll see in many ways, if not always, review it as if it's still in the ground. In other words, any seeds growing in this flower pot, any produce in this flower pot, will have the dinim of being in the ground. An otzah she'eno nokuf, however, a flower pot that doesn't have any hole in it, so therefore it's considered already detached from the ground. It's not in the ground, and therefore there are different dinim involved. So that little introduction, let's learn the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that toleish miotzah nokuf. If you take something out, let's say you're growing tomatoes in a little flower pot, and you pluck one of the tomatoes. So if you did this from a flower pot with holes in it, hatolish mi otzitz nokov, in this situation, the halacha would be chayiv, you'd be chayiv achatas, because this is an issa daraisa that you would have done if you'd done it on purpose by plucking a tomato from the ground. And if you did it by accident, from an otzitz nokov, it's considered like in the ground, and you would be chayiv. However, v'she'eno nokov, if it wasn't a flower pot with a hole in it, so then it's not an issa daraisa. However, the rabbi said, don't do it, therefore it's potter avol osur. You're not allowed to do this, but it's not an issa daraisa because the flower pot is considered, in this situation, without a hole in it, as if it's not in the ground. And therefore, if you have something like this, if you, let's say you have grapes that were picked before Shabbos, and now you take a grape off from the vine that you have in your hand, so that's not called plucking a grape, that's called eating a grape. That's perfectly permissible. But if it's in a flower pot, the rabbi said, we're going to make it into the rabbanon over here because it looks too much like you're plucking it from the ground. That is the opinion of the Chacham and the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon poter, bazeh u bazeh. Rabbi Shimon says, whether it's in an otzitz nokov, and certainly if it's an otzitz she'eno nokov, whether it's a flower pot with holes in it, or a flower pot that doesn't have holes in it, it is not an issa d'oraisa to go and pluck something from this flower pot. Poter, bazeh u bazeh. Rabbi Shimon is poter in both of these situations. Gemara starts off and asks, Romile Abaye Rava, Abaye asked Rava. Others say, it was Amile Rav Chiya Barav Lirav. It was Rav Chiya Barav who asked his father, Rav. Tanan, we learned in our very Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Poter B'Zebzeb. We said at the end of this Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says, both in the case of Otzis Nakov, in the case of Otzis She'eno Nakov, you're not Chayev Midaraisa. So Gemara says, what do you see? Alma, Nakov, the Rabbi Shimon, this flower pot that has a hole in it, according to Rabbi Shimon, is halachic, identical, Kishe'eno Nakov, Mishavile. There is no difference. It seems from our Mishnah, it says, Poter B'Zebzeb, the Lashon over here says that there's absolutely no difference between the two types of flower pots. Therefore, there should never be any difference in any dinim. But Urmino will bring you a brisa, which seems to say that Rabbi Shimon says there is a difference in din between a perforated flower pot and a flower pot that doesn't have holes in it. Urmino, the brisa says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, ein bein nokov she'eino nokov. There is no difference between a flower pot with holes and a flower pot with no holes. That would be, if we just stopped over there, then we'd have no problems. But then he says, except, and here the problem is, how come there's an exception in the brisa? We didn't have any exceptions in the Mishnah. Elo l'hachshu zron bilvad. Now, this is a complicated subject. We have to understand a little bit before we can explain it. If something is attached to the ground, or attached to a tree growing in the ground, so that item cannot be makabel tuma, even if it gets wet. Normally, any food item has to be mukshel makabel tuma, has to get wet. But something in the ground, if it's attached to the ground, can't accept tuma. And therefore, in this situation, even if it's wet, it's not mukshel makabel tuma. So something that halachically is considered in the ground can't accept tuma. So therefore, the difference, Rabbi Shimon says, between a flower pot with a hole, a flower pot without a hole, is that a flower pot with a hole, in regards only to this din, is considered that the zroyim planted in this flower pot with a hole are still considered attached to the ground. In terms of Hilchos Shabbos, it's not. In terms of other dinim, it's not. But in regards to Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, in regards to can these seeds that are in this flower pot with a hole be makabel tumah, the answer is no. The one difference between them is this. So that's the question. In the Mishnah, he didn't seem to say there's any differences. And over here, the Brisa, he seems to say there's a difference. So that's the question that Abaye asked to Rava. Amalei, Rava says back to Abaye, or in the other situation that it was Rav answering his son, Rav Chia, whoever it was that said this, he said, in regards to all halachos, Rashi explains, in regards to Chashabbos, in regards to lipnos mimshich, how you make a kinyan on something, something that's attached to the ground, you make a different kinyan and something's metaltalin. For example, you're not allowed to make a kinyan over here, b'mishicha, v'lo b'kesef, you for something that's metaltalin, you can make mishicha, but you can't do it with money. If something's mechubel karka, you can't do it with mishicha, you can do it with kesef. In regards to prusbul, in order for a person to make a document of a prusbul, that means that the money that somebody owes you in the Shemitah year won't automatically be nullified, so you have to have karka. So in regards to, is this otzit tzedakah, this flower pot, is that considered owning karka? That's there's in all these dinim, there's no difference between a flower pot with a hole and a flower pot without a hole, except for this one din over here. So in this situation, Rabbi Shimon ketolush mishabile. In every other situation, the chol mile, Rabbi Shimon doesn't distinguish, like our Mishnah said. However, in this situation, the shiny linyan tumah, only in regards to the zroyim is it different, because we have a pasuk in the Torah, that Torah ribsa tahara etzol zroyim, because here we have a special unique din that tells us that the seeds inside a flower pot with a hole in it are still considered attached to the ground. Shenema, as the apostle says in Shemini, al kol zera zerua asher yizareya. The extra words asher yizareya, Rashi says, kederush adam motzi lezriya. It tells us that the only types of things that can accept tumah are something that's ready to be planted. So these seeds that you're ready to plant, in other words, they're totally detached, and therefore Rashi says lim ute mechuber koldu. This extra words asher yizareya. It already said that it's talking about Zera Zeruah, but it says Asher Yizareya, that you can plant, comes to tell me that if it's attached in a flower pot that has a hole in it, so then that's still considered attached to the ground in regards to this din. So therefore, if it's Mechuba Koldehu, even a little bit, therefore, L'chachi Ahani Zriyos Yisera Dekra. Therefore, this is what the pasuk tells us. However, Umiyu She'enu Nakov Tolish Gomahu. If it doesn't have a hole in it, then this Asher Yizareya doesn't even apply. But if it has a hole in it, then this Asher Yizareya applies. That's why this is the one difference. That's why the Brisa says this is the one difference according to Rabbi Shimon. But everything else, Rabbi Shimon doesn't distinguish between a flower pot with a hole, flower pot without a hole. Mark continues and says, "Boy, minei haus saba mir b'zera." This elderly person, this haus saba, this grandfather, said to Rabbi Zera. Elsewhere, we often say that this is Eliyahu HaNavi. Not always, there are exceptions, but many times it's Eliyahu HaNavi. So in any way, this haus saba said to Rabbi Zera the following shaila: Shoresh Keneged Nekev, Mali Yomer Rishimon. If you had a hole in the flower pot, now it's a small hole in the flower pot. We'll see it. Now we're going to get into a discussion of what makes a flower pot no longer called a kli. So if you have a small hole in the flower pot, but it's right by the root, so the root, theoretically, can be attached to the ground. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, he says a flower pot with a hole in it is considered detached from the ground. So this Ha'u Saba is asking him, are there any exceptions to your opinion, Rabbi Shimon? And he's asking this to Rabbi Zeira. What would Rabbi Shimon say if you had a hole in the flower pot right by one of the roots? In that situation, is the root in the flower pot considered connected to the ground? Because it goes right through this hole, so to say, or not? That was the question that he asked him. Ishtik. Rosera didn't answer him. Lo male, lo midi. He didn't give him a response. Now, often that means he didn't know what the answer was, so he didn't say anything. However, Zimnuchad, the Rashi says, another time, a different time, Pamacheres, you know what he did? He said the following. Zimnuchad, Ashkei de Yosef Kamar, this Hausaba, saw that Rosera was giving a shir, and he said during the shir, Umo de Rabbi Shimon, this Rabbi Shimon who holds that there's normally no difference between a flower pot that has a hole in it and a flower pot that doesn't have a hole in it, said, Shemnike b'chdei taraso, if this flower pot had a hole in it enough to make it ice kli, it no longer is going to be considered a utensil. Only a utensil can be makabel tuma if it's broken to the extent that it can't be considered a kli anymore, and if it was tame, it becomes tar, or if it wasn't tame, it can't accept tuma once it's broken. So in this situation, mo de Rabbi Shimon says that if it's, the flower pot is broken so much so, then in fact, the zroim inside of this perforated flower pot will be considered connected to the ground, even according to Rabbi Shimon, because it's essentially, there's no flower pot there, because the flower pot is considered broken to the extent that it's nikav b'chdei taraso. That's what Rabbi Zeira said is Rabbi Shimon's opinion. So this Ha'us Abba said, Amalei said, I don't understand. Before I asked you, Hashda, Shorish, Kenege, Nekev, Boy Minoch, when I asked you, what about there's a little hole and the root is right there? So the root is really rowing right into the ground. Lo, Matthew, Lee, Molmidi. You didn't want to give me an answer. You didn't know the answer. And here you're now saying what would be a bigger cooler, Nikev, Bechdei, Taras, Miboya. And yet you're saying over here that the flower pot is no longer clean, but there's a separation. They have the bottom of the flower pot still there. And the roots aren't able to go through the bottom of the flower pot. You're telling me there that Rabbi Shimon says it's considered attached to the ground? I don't understand. That's what the Ha'u Saba says to Rabbi Zeira. Amar Abaye. Abaye explains the answer, what Rabbi Zeira would say back to this Ha'u Saba. You're right. The Yitmar Loha de Rabbi Zeira. If Rabbi Zeira made a statement, this is what he actually said. Ha'chiyu de Yitmar. You misunderstood what Rabbi Zeira said. Rabbi Zeira said, Umode Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon would be Moda in the following situation. Shemnikev lamata mirevius. If the flower pot, in fact, was broken and had a hole in it, on the bottom part of the flower pot, that now, if that bottom part of the flower pot was trying to put in water, the hole over here was below the line that it could hold the revius left in that bottom of the flower pot, in that situation, then Rabbi Shimon is molded that it's connected to the ground. In that situation, the bottom of the flower pot is not even going to be useful for even using it as a gistera. It has a hole in it. It's not even going to be able to use it as a shard of pottery and use it like as a coaster to put another cup on top of it. So therefore, it's totally useless over here, and since it's so close to the ground, that's why Rashi said even on the side, but it's so close to the ground that we consider in that situation as there's no flower pot at all, and therefore, in that situation, Shimon is moda that it's considered attached to the ground. But if you have a question of a hole with a root that could go through the hole, that's a different situation, and that I didn't know the answer to. You can't tell me that Rabbi Shimon, because he holds in the first case that there's a hole in the bottom that they can't even hold left the revius, that you can't tell me because of that, that the case of the little hole with the root that going through it, what the din would be in that case. And now we introduce ideas of how you determine the size of a hole in a flower pot in terms of making it ice flower pot that it's no longer considered utensil. So I'm a rubber. Rubber tells us, Chamesh midos b'chli cheres. There are five examples or types of holes, midos, over here in the chli cheres that have different halach l'maisa ramifications. Number one, nikev kamotzi mashke. Now, you can have a hole. This is scientifically true. You can have a very small hole. It's so small that only things from the inside can get out. You can have a leak in a cup, for example, because of the pressure in the cup, so water can be pushed out. But if you would put this cup in a bathtub, no water would be able to come into this cup, not through the top, through the hole, because there's not enough pressure on the outside to push it through this little hole. And the inside of the cup, you can have the pressure pushing it out, but not enough pressure on the outside to push it in. So this is called nikev kemotzi mashke. It only allows the hole, this little tiny hole in the cup, only allows a leak to come out, but it wouldn't allow any liquid to come in. So if you have a kli, an earthenware kli, a kli cheres, that's such a small hole in it, called Nikeb Kemotzi Mashka. So the loch is Tohar Milatame Gistra. You wouldn't use this as a shard of pottery. The Gemara is going to say later on, the Omen Aleph, we'll get to it today. So it's going to tell us that you don't make a shard of pottery for a shard of pottery. The only reason you would use such a Gistra, something has a hole in it, you're not going to use it as a shard of pottery. You'd use over here a cup that has a hole in it that's so small that it lets out a little mashka. You'll put it on a coaster. So any little bit of liquid that comes out, it won't ruin your tablecloth. But you're not going to use the coaster with a little hole in it. So therefore, if you have a earthenware pot that has a hole in it, nikib kamotzi mashka, it still remains a useful utensil because people aren't going to throw that away. But if you're using it as a gistra, then it's no longer considered a gistra. A gistra can be accepting tumma because you're using it as a coaster. But if a coaster has a little hole in it, you're going to throw it away. It's garbage, and therefore, it's no longer capable of accepting tumma. If it was tummy, it no longer has the tumma. And if it were to come into contact with tumma, if it was tar, it wouldn't accept tumma. That's first category over here. However, this cup that has a hole in it, nikib kamotzi mashka, is a perfectly good utensil still, and it can accept tumah, and it can be used v'adayin klihu lekadish bo mechatas. You can even use it to fill up the waters for the chatas, for the paraduma, to make the mechatas waters. You could do it because it's still a valid cup. It has to be a Torah cup, and this is a Torah cup, and obviously Rashi points out that it obviously could be makabel tumah as well, but here we're talking about that you can even use it for mechatas. That's a bigger chiddush. That's category number one, nikib kamotzi mashka. Category number two is a little bit of a bigger hole, nikeb kekones mashka. Not only would water leak out, but the hole is big enough that water could even come in. If you put this cup into a bath of water, so the water would come in through the hole. Again, not through the top, but the water coming in through the hole. So nikeb kekones mashka, that's a bigger hole than nikeb kemotzi mashka. So here, tar milikadish mechatas. You can't use this utensil anymore for mechatas. Nobody would use this for mechatas. The water's going to come out, and therefore it's not a good utensil. When you had a little hole, it still would be used. Here it's a little bit of a big hole. You can't use this for the mechatas. However, but this is still considered a kli. And if you had over here earth in this kli and you planted something in this kli, it would not be considered connected to the ground. And therefore, the zroyim that you planted over here would be able to be mekabel tumah. As Rashi says over here in Dibra Maschil, this is even according to the Chachamim. Anything you put inside this, hazruim besocho, the kiklushin ninu, the things that you're planting inside this type of a kli are considered detached from the ground already, and therefore they can become a tumah. And this is not only Rabbi Shimon, but even the Rabbanon, because she'ein nek is a roi lo riach lechlukas akarka. This is like an otzis she'ein onokov, and even the Chachamim say an otzis she'ein onokov is definitely not considered attached to the ground. So this is category number two. Now, category number three, nikev kishorish katan. Now you have a hole the size of a root being able to go through it. Now this is a larger than the first two categories. So this is category number three. Tor milahachshu bozroim. Here, in this situation, it's considered attached to the ground. As Rashi says over here, tor milahachshu bozroim l'rabbanan. Heavy otzis nakav. This is according to the Chacham who say that this is an otzis nakav. It now has a significant enough hole. They hold that the size of a shorish cotton is a root can go through it. So then that's considered a significant hole. It's therefore attached to the ground. And therefore, any seeds inside of it would not be makabel tumah because they're considered attached to the ground. So Torah milachshu bozroim. However, it's still considered a kli in regards to tumah and tara. V'dayin kli ulekabel zesim. So if you want to use this kli to put in olives, so then this kli could be makabel tumah and would be matami the olives inside of it if you put in olives. That's category number three. Category number four, nikeb b'motzi zesim. It has a hole in it that even olives will fall through. It's a big enough hole that the olives will fall through. Now, it's ois kli, tar milikabel bo zesim. Once it's in this situation, a hole is big enough that the olives will fall through it, so then it loses its status of being a kli. If it was tame, it would become tar. If it wasn't tame, it couldn't be makabel tumah because it's not a kli, because olives can't even fit in it. Vadayin kliu, however, if you designate it, Rashi, this is the way Rashi understands it. If you say, okay, I'm not going to put olives in it, but put pomegranates in it. It still can be a good kli for carrying pomegranates. They won't fall through the small holes that the olives can fall through. So therefore, if you designate it for pomegranates, vadayin kliu lekabel bo rimonim. And then it would be makabel tumah in that situation. That's category number four. Finally, category number five, nikev kemotzi rimonim. If there are holes in this kli that even a rimon, a big pomegranate, is going to fall through, so then tar miklum. Then it ain't the kli. right? We don't say, well, you're going to use it for watermelons. No, it's not a kli over here. If it's not makabel rimonim, so then everybody's giving up hope. Nobody is so poor that they're going to still use this for something else. If it can't accept even pomegranates, the holes in it so much, it's no longer a kli. Tar miklum. It has absolutely no status of a kli. That's why she says, mishum kli. However, he says, Elohim ke matzniyo legistera, yitami b'toros gistera. But you still could say, okay, I'm not going to use this whole thing as a kli, but I'm going to use it to be a coaster. So then if you designate it to be a coaster, which is like a broken kli, so then it again retains the status of being a kli, and we'd be makabel tuma. And therefore, if it's a kli in this regard, v'imhukaf tzomid pasil, if you seal off an earthenware container, we know that earthenware container is only a makabel tuma on the inside. So even in the house of a mace, where everything normally would become tame, a tzomid pasil, a sealed off earthenware kli, won't have the food inside of it become tame by being in the house of a mace. If it was open, then the food inside of it would become tame because of ohel, of tumas hameis, but not if it's sealed. So therefore, if this gister over here is sealed, so it has a hole in the side of it, big enough to let a pomegranate go through. But the top part, which is the opening, the official Pesach, is sealed. So then it is going to protect the food inside of it from becoming tame of Tumas Ohel because of the din of Tzomid Pasil protecting. However, if it's broken so much so, Achi Poches Rubo, if the majority of this Kli is broken, then Tzomid Pasil won't work anymore in that Gistera type of a Kli. So that is the fifth and final category. Amar Ravasi, Ravasi adds over here and he says, Shomati klicheres shiro kimotzi rimon. I heard that there's this din over here, that a klicheres is still called the klicheres, not with motzi zayis, but motzi rimon. Up until the size of the holes of being the size of a rimon, it's still called the kli. Different than what Rava just told us, that it's motzi zayis. So he seems to be arguing with Rava. So Amar Ravasi, Rava tells him, maybe you didn't hear right. Shemelo shomata, maybe you only heard ele b'mukav tzomid pasil. Maybe you only heard that it's called, like I just said, category number five, that if it's broken to the size of a pomegranate holes, so then it's ice kli, except in regards to the din of tzomid pasil when you're using it as a gistera and it's sealed on the top. Maybe that's what you heard, but otherwise the shir is of a kizayis. Gemara says, wait a second, but ravahu di amar mukav tzomid pasil achi pachis rubo. A minute ago, we just said that Rava said it's not the size of a pomegranate. It loses its status of being a kli if it's yipaches rubo, not the size of a pomegranate. So Rava seems to be contradicting himself. Gemara says, lo kasha, we turn to the Amud Aleph now. No, there are two scenarios over here. And there's a machlokas Rashi Tosos over here as to which one is which. So I'll explain the idea, and then I'll explain what Rashi and Tosos are disagreeing upon. So Rava said in one place that if it's mukav seal, so then it won't be able to be mukav seal and seal the inside from becoming tummy in tumas meis if the majority of the kli is broken. And in one place he said if it's broken enough to have the size of a pomegranate. So the question is, which one is which? So Rashi says over here that beravrvi is beruvo. The larger kli has to be broken in the majority of it in order to lose its status. And the smaller kli, that only needs the size of a remote. Tosa says that doesn't make sense. The larger kli should be even if it's not rubo, but if it's the size of a pomegranate. And the smaller kli, even if it's the size of rubo, even though it's not the size of a pomegranate, it still should lose its status. So that's the argument over here between Rashi and Tosa. But that reconciles Rava's two statements. Finally, we're going to meet the show. We'll finish till the end of the parak because it's all one easy sugya over here. Ravasi. Ravasi says shonen. Ravasi says shonen means hatanoim shonen b'raisa, that the tanoim learned in a braisa. Now this could be understood simply that it means the tanoim who authored the braisa. But most understand this that it means the amoroim who learned these braisos. We have this many times. Tana tana kamei, and then it's the name of an amora. So therefore these are the amoroim who learned these braisas. In any event, whoever it was shonen, he said klicheres, an earthenware utensil, shiuro kichones b'chones mashke. The shear, we'll see in a moment, that this shear is talking about the second smallest shear. This is the water being able to enter, the water leaking out but can't enter. That was the motzi mashke. So this is the second smallest shear, konis mashke. So this second shear, v'lo amru motzi mashke, they only said the first shear, elyin gister bovad. Nobody would ever throw away a kli cheres if it just was motzi mashke. But they would throw away a gistera. This is what we said earlier. Nobody would use a coaster, a broken shard of pottery, is using it as a coaster over here, if the coaster itself was broken. So the only time we have, the smallest shear normally is for a klicheres is konis mashke, shear number two. we never use shear number one except for a gistra. Elyin and gistra buvad. And why is that, my time? Because I explained. But this is where I brought it down from before. On the Razuti Reader of Nachman, Lefish ain't omim hovi gistra legistra. Nobody in their right mind is going to say, let's go bring a coaster for this coaster. Because the coaster is broken, so we need another coaster underneath it. It's a piece of garbage. Okay, you could use it as a gistra, but you're not going to use a broken gistra. You'll only use an intact gistra. It in and of itself is already broken, but at least you can still use it as a gistra, without having to have another gistra underneath it. Amarula, Ula added over here, Pligibot, Trey Amaroy, Bemarabba. There were two Amaroyim in Eretz Yisrael that had the following machlokas. We don't know which one said which. The two Amaroyim were Rav Yossi, Rav Avin, and Rav Yossi, Rav Zavda. So these two Rav Yossis, one the son of Rav Avin, and one the son of Rav Zavda, they said, Chadamar Kimotzi Bimo, they said that the shear that is the shear that ruins the kli, an earthenware kli from being a kli, is that it has a hole in it the size of a rimon. Not like we said before, a zayis, but a rimon. And the Chalamai Kishorish Kotan, one said it was shear number three, if you had the size of a hole that a root could go through. So these two Amarayim are saying it was either shear number three or shear number five. None of them said shear number four, which was the Zayis hole. And how do you remember this Machlokas or Simonech? So remember it based upon the famous Vort that we have, Echad Amar B'Echad Amamit. This is in regards to Karbanos. The person isn't have a lot of money, but he wants to give a carbon. But he's doing it L'Shem Shemayim. So it doesn't make a difference. You're rich or you're poor. As long as you're doing it L'Shem Shemayim, Echad Amar B'Echad Amamit, as long as you're doing L'Shem Shemayim, it's perfectly good. And therefore, the way to remember this is that it was a Marbe Shir, number five, or a Mamet Shir, number three. Nobody said the Shir, number four. So that's how you remember, that's the mnemonic over here. As Rashi points out, nobody had a Havamina, there would be Shir, number one, or number two, because those are way too small. Nobody would say that that ruins it from being a Kli. So it's either ruining it from being a Kli, Shir, number three, which is the Shir of a Shorish Katan, or Shir, number five, which was the pomegranate. Finally, Gemara concludes and says, Kli Cheres, Shiro Kimotzi Zesim. He says the shear is, if it's no longer going to be called a kli, if you have a hole in it the size that an olive can come through. He learned the name of Rabbi Lezer the following day. In this situation, where it's no longer a kli, it's not Matami even in the Rabbanon. It now has a status of being like a kli that's made out of excrement. They used to have, unbelievably, we'd have a hard time using such kli, Caleb, that they made out of hardened dung. So, kli gilolim, or kli avon, a kli that was made out of stoneware. A stoneware kli, or kli adama. Kli adama is not an earthenware kli. It's a kli that's made out of earth, but it hasn't put into the kiln. It hasn't been made fired up, so it's not a kli cheres, it's a kli adama. All of these kelim, she'em kablam tumah, they don't have the ability to accept tumah. Not only midivrei Torah, lo midivrei Torah, but not even lo midivrei sofrim. So this kli cheres that becomes broken becomes so much so that it's no longer a kli not to accept tumah even on the rabbanon level. However, it still can block the tumah. We said if it's an earthenware kli that's broken and it's no longer a kli, but as long as it's still usable as a gistera, so then it could block the tumah from getting inside through the opening, the proper way to get in if it's somit pasil, unless achi poches rubo, until, as we pointed out, the majority of it was broken, and then we had the machlokas rashi tosus. What did that mean, the majority? Does it mean the majority even in a small kli, or it means the majority of a large kli? In any event, Hadron Alecha Hamatzniah, Hadron Alecha Matzniah, Hadron Alecha Matzniah. This concludes the beautiful 10th parak of Hamatzniah. With that, we conclude today's shir.